The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Katherine Raker. Sponsored by
Bagwell, Celestial Cruise Lines, Dan Perkins, IDI Smile Artist, iMarketing, Victory Nutrition International, Mandel Brown Surgery Center, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Life Coach Jody Grinwald, and Ultimate Air Shuttle.
On W4CY.
Hi, this is Katherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. I am so honored to have one of the most magnificent businessmen in the country, I think, Greg Noy. And he started the Edgar Allan Group in 1978. And the nice thing about this wonderful man is that he has a series of MBAs, I think. He's been an adjunct professor, but I'm going to let you tell us, Greg, all about your background. And I heard you were an Eagle Scout as well.
Yes, I accomplished that back in 1968. From there, I went to the University of Cincinnati and acquired, one degree with four majors, marketing, management, finance, and insurance. And likewise, one MBA with two majors in international business and marketing. And I've taught at the college level several times. Most recently in 2007, I taught ethics and accounting. And I'm also a SCORE volunteer. For those of you who know what SCORE is, it's a volunteer sister organization to the SBA that provides free mentoring to prospective entrepreneurs and small business owners. And that's kind of my background.
Well, let me ask you a question. What and who were your mentors, and why this field of all fields?
Well, I was the kind of kid that always was looking for ways to make money.
An entrepreneur yourself. Did you have your own lemonade stand?
No, but I would sell my toys from time to time.
You would? Did that drive your mom crazy?
Well, no, she didn't. She wasn't really aware of those kinds of exploits. But I would invent games and things like that and get the neighborhood kids to give me a nickel or something to play the games that I invented. But more normally, I had all of the lawns on the street to cut. This was a little bit before landscaping companies actually evolved or emerged. So I was always the one sorting the pop bottles or collecting them or cutting lawns or doing something to make a little extra money.
Me too. And I think I'm a little older than you. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, it's amazing what we did as kids. And I'm from a big family. There were seven of us. And I'm the oldest. So I had to think of ways to make money so that I could do different things because my mom and dad were not what I call rich in the sense of anything. So, you know, I think that entrepreneurs, and I love being an entrepreneur, and I love you know what show I like more than anything else on TV?
What's that?
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank. Okay.
And I've got an invention I haven't even shown you yet that I'll bring to our meeting. It's a knife block.
Wow.
And nobody else has got it. It's magnetic. Yeah. And you can see through it. Now, think about knives in a magnetic situation.
Right.
And you put the knives in. And it was to keep the knives clean and to be able to see them. And there's nothing out there on the market yet. So is that the kind of person that would come to you for your...
Absolutely.
For your advice into whatever? There used to be somebody from Cincinnati that was the Inventors Group. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. When I came out of college, I got involved in the financial services industry, mm-hmm. and which eventually led me into a company that did venture capital packaging. And back in those days, we had a wonderful tool that the IRS gave us, strangely enough. But it was a 10-to-1 tax write-off. So
oh, really?
If somebody would put up $1,000 and they would get a $10,000 tax write-off. But unfortunately, they did away with that in 1987. And I had to come up with a new career, a new way to make money. And so I started doing taxes. But when you're starting out in a tax business, you don't have that many clients. And so I was done by March. And so I had to figure out something else to do for the rest of the year. And I worked in the trades, strangely enough.
What did you do?
Well, I've run with the plumber, the carpenter, almost everything except HVAC. So
you could even build sets for Westerns and movies and all that kind of good stuff still.
Yes, I could. I don't choose to, but.
You could do that in your second life, you know, when you retire. No, I'm just choosing you.
Well, the relevance there really impacts my business today is that my heart goes out to those people who work hard for a living. And oftentimes are taken advantage of by the establishment and what some people call the suits. And so,
you know, and that's funny because I got to bring that up a minute.
Okay.
Because both my brothers were, my one brother, they're both passed away, but my one brother, he had his own business in Hyde Park. And he was a tradesman, he was a carpenter, he actually did the set, parts of the sets of Rain Man. And,
wow.
The anniversary of his death is in the end of January, and his name was Joe Bakanek, and Joey was really, we were really close. And then my brother Art was in the Coast Guard for years, and he went into the trades as well. And so, I mean, I think we need, and I think you're going to agree on this, we need to teach people the trades today.
Yes.
Because we've lost them, and we've lost the business part of it. And I think that's really important. Wouldn't you say that, Greg?
Yes, absolutely. It's a very complicated business world, and unfortunately, it gets more and more complicated every day, and it makes it hard to run a business unless you have someone that's looking out for those kinds of things for you. No one was born knowing how to run a business or knowing accounting or any of those kinds of things. And so we have to have a system, if you will, to provide those kinds of services and education, instruction, whatever you want to call it. It's interesting that when a contractor looks to remodel his own basement, mm-hmm. he will bring in all the experts. He'll bring in the electricians, the drywallers, and the plumbers.
Really?
But then when it comes time to run his own business, he turns into do-it-yourself mode. And that's unfortunate because what does he know about accounting or finance or all these other things? Well, and it goes to another point in that if you collect enough data, you can determine all kinds of things about your business. And I'll just give you one story.
Okay.
When I was starting out as a business consultant, I consulted with a young woman who was running a rent-to-own business. And she kept an awful lot of records. And I didn't have access to all of them. But after reviewing them for a week, I was able to conclude that the person who worked on Wednesday nights was stealing from her.
Wow.
And she was able then to say, to fill the gap and say, well, I know who that is. And I was able to show her why I thought that this person was stealing. And those are the kinds of things that you can determine in your business. You can manage your business from the books if you keep good, accurate data. And that's something that is lost on many business owners. I oftentimes think that they wouldn't keep any records at all if it weren't for the tax code and they had to pay taxes on it. They probably, you know, I have a client that if he's got money in his checking account, that's good enough for him. That's all the accounting he needs. Well, it's unfortunate, but it's very difficult to run a business and make any progress if that's your attitude about your bookkeeping.
Well, you know, it's amazing, and you're probably going to get to know Debbie Burkhart, who's part of our professional referral group that we run. And Debbie is actually an accountant, and she's with the Accounting Association, but she doesn't do taxes. And she's been helping me with my bookkeeping over the years and keeping me straight, okay? And with, you know, there's sometimes when things happen that I'm not quite sure in QuickBooks, so I call Debbie and I say, Debbie, help me, you know? But this is what's really important about the services that you provide to your clients, I think, because, you know, if you understand simple bookkeeping, you know, mm-hmm. and if you know how to keep receipts and write on them and say, this is for what this is. I am fortunate, Greg, that I get to write off a lot of what I do. Okay. At least I think so.
Sure.
And I am really thorough about that situation because a few years ago, I went through the situation I told you that I had to go back to 2003 and prove a lot of stuff for what was happening in my life. And I came out a winner because of it. And we're not talking about the IRS here.
Okay.
We're just talking about something else. But the point is that I kept good records from the very time that I opened up the business. And that's really important. Before this next break, what can you tell people for this new tax season quickly? Is there something special that we should be looking for?
Well, I hate to bring this up in this climate right now, but the penalties for not having health insurance are tenfold this coming year over what they were last year. Mm-hmm. In the first year, it was $95 or 1% of your income. Then it jumped to $195 or 2% of your income. Now it's $2,084 or 2.5% of your income if you don't have health insurance.
And on that note, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Greg Noy of the Edgar Allen Group.
Catherine, we'll be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Hi, I'm Greg Noe. Since 1978, I've been helping entrepreneurs outsource some of their responsibilities so that they, as business owners, can focus on what's important and the tasks that only they can do. There's no reason to do everything alone and no reason not to love what you do. When you hire me to carry some of the load, you free yourself up to focus on growing your business without foregoing your personal life. ProBiz Services is our flagship business, which offers accounting, payroll, tax prep, and more. But that's not all. Our favorite nonprofit organization, the Excelsior Institute, has an innovative accelerator incubator program that provides low-cost business training, classes, and free counseling. Call us today to schedule a free consultation. That's at 513-474-4555, 513-474-4555, or visit us on the web at probizservices.com.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We're back on Let's Just Talk with our new sponsor. I'm so excited about this because I've been wanting someone that really understands business, not only in the accounting and the tax, but everything about entrepreneurs. And I think you're such an expert that we are so honored that you are joining us on Let's Just Talk. Tell me, you were talking about prior to the break what's going to be happening with the healthcare situation and taxes this year. Do you think this is going to be repealed when I'm hoping that the Republicans get in, maybe?
I don't see that.
You don't see it?
No.
Why?
There are too many good parts to the, and I call it Obamacare. For example, the health coverage for pre-existing conditions, the inclusion of young people all the way through college, they can be included on their parents' health insurance programs.
So you think it'll be not repealed, you think it'll be reworded, redone?
There may be some of that. I would expect that over the years, but I do not expect that it's going to be repealed and ignored. Even from the Republican standpoint, mm-hmm. I think we need to understand that at least one of the motivations for the health care law was to get everyone involved in it. There are still many people who have resources who do not pay for their health care. They go to the emergency room, and for one reason or another, they're excluded and they don't have to pay. And I think that was one of the features that they were trying to address in the healthcare law. And I think every Republican would like to see that. They would like to see everyone who has resources pay their way instead of pushing that burden onto the taxpayers. Now, it's not a perfect system. There are still some people who are excluded from paying, and the short run, they get some government subsidies with the hopes that over the long run, they'll begin working. And well, if for no other reason, the healthcare system won't hold them back, meaning they'll be able to go to the doctor, the right doctor, not the ER doctor, and get the medicine that they need to get over their cold or their flu or whatever to get them back being productive again.
Now, let's talk about seniors here, because okay. I happen to be one. I'm not thrilled with this. I'm not thrilled with Medicare, actually. And the thing is that the problem is with this whole mess, and I think it's a mess for 2,500 pages of, and, you know, I really believe it needs to be changed, okay, in a lot of different ways. And one of the things that really, really irritates me about this whole thing is that after 75, I don't want a panel of people telling me what I can do and what I can't do on operations. And I have friends, Greg, that have been turned down for certain things, and they're in good health, and they need to have this procedure. I have a problem with that. Tell me why. Who was the idiot that did that? I'd like to know. I mean, seriously.
Well, you're always going to have some group of people in a room making
decisions. No, but I want doctors to make the decision. I do not want people that don't know what they're talking about to be deciding whether I should have that procedure.
I'm with you.
Okay.
So let's exclude insurance companies from that
as
well.
I agree.
Should not be making those decisions. The doctors should.
That's right.
And so far, all we've had is the discussion between whether it's going to be some kind of a government-controlled group or an insurance company making those decisions. I think both of those are bad. And I think, as you point out, the doctors ought to be deciding.
You know, I really wish that doctors would have. You know, I was on the panel, Greg, in Chicago before Obamacare. I lived under National Health. And I got to tell you something. I lived in England. We paid for National Health. What I'm seeing is a lot of young people that are my daughter's age in the 40s that are paying a lot of money for stuff that they had before, that now it's costing them so much more. See, there's an inequality there that scares me about it. I think doctors should have been a bigger part of this situation for Obamacare than what we did. What happened in England is that the British had national health care for so long. Now they've gone private. Okay. So when I lived there, we had to pay, our company had to pay for national health care, and we had to pay for private if we wanted to have a good operation, unless I wanted to stand in line for it. Okay. So I've seen both sides of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to be on that committee as a media person, a fair media person to cover that, because I think there's going to be a lot of changes. And I want doctors to be part of it. And I think it's costing doctors so much today. To be able to take care of seniors because of this mess, right? A lot of doctors are turning seniors down and not accepting them as patients, and I don't think that's fair.
Well, and just a comment. Part of the system it causes doctors to order a number of tests, in general, just to cover themselves that they don't leave anything out. And I think part of the problem related to that is that the doctors are not, or they have not been historically doing a very good job of policing their own profession. Mm-hmm. As consumers, we've only been recently exposed to information about a doctor's historical performance. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there's some reason why they don't like that information out there. The doctors wouldn't take on those tough cases if they were going to be held accountable for all of that later on. Uh-huh. But that being said, you know, when doctors cut off the wrong leg or just make stupid mistakes, you know, somebody needs to intervene and cut off that doctor's privileges. And that's the reason why there are lawsuits and people want to cap the amount of the awards and things like that. I personally don't think that's a good approach either. And so I think a lot of this could be dealt with if they would police their own profession a little bit
now,
better.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have a lot of doctors that are your clients?
No, I don't. I have a handful.
You have a handful?
Yeah.
And do they listen to what you have to say?
Not typically.
Not typically. So here's the thing. I think that we need to educate these people from the very beginning while they're even maybe interns or residents and are
exactly.
starting to come out. I know what my own personal doctor has gone through, and he will not turn a patient down. He's wonderful, and he's just so giving. I've seen this whole thing, you know, process just like you. And so my heart goes out to all of us for mm-hmm. this situation. But I don't want to be talking about Obamacare and all that stuff forever because that's not what you do, right?
Correct.
But that's just one of the things. Is there anything else out there, Tom, that's going to change this year besides that?
Not
Tom, Greg. See, I'm looking at Tom.
Well, okay. Something did happen earlier in the year that was really helpful to real estate investors.
Okay, let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, the IRS came out with a memo the day after Valentine's Day that said that real estate investors who hold property and rent it out, meaning those people who depreciate their properties, are allowed to componentize their buildings now. And historically, the problem was, and I'll use the example of the roof. When you replace the roof on your single-family home that you rent out, well, you might spend $6,000 to do that, but you have to add, up until this memo, you had to add that $6,000 onto the value of the house and then deduct it over 27 and a half years, which meant that you got a $218 tax deduction after spending $6,000. And what was really happening here is, even though physically you're removing the roof, there wasn't anything on paper that was equal to removing the roof. And now you're allowed to do that. So when we break our buildings into the components, into the electric system, the HVAC system, plumbing system, windows and doors, porches and decks, and the roof, as well as the traditional items like landscaping and land and all those, when we replace the roof physically, we're actually allowed to replace it on paper as well.
Okay, on that note, give your website out because we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Your telephone number, please.
Our website is probizservices.com. That's P-R-O-B-I-Z services.com. And our phone number is 513-474-4555.
And we'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk after these important messages.
Catherine will be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Let's Just Talk. My favorite tool in my kitchen and garage is the Bagwell Sealable Bag Holder. It's like having an extra set of hands to help you in the kitchen or the garage or anywhere. The Bagwell is quick and easy to use. Just pop it open, fold back a cuff on the baggie, spread the cuff over four sturdy arms, and you're ready to pour, fill, seal, and store with no spilling. It works great with snack foods, pasta dishes, anything that you have left over. It's dishwasher safe and folds flat for easy storage. Plus, it eliminates the clutter and stacks of tubs and lids in your cabinets and dishwasher. So, you can use it all over the house, anywhere you can use a baggie. Order a Bagwell for yourself, your friends, your family, for anyone who could use a helping hand. And guess what? They have a special at $6.99. Go to www.thebagwell.com.
Do you fly to New York City, Chicago, or Charlotte? Give Ultimate Air Shuttle a try and get VIP treatment for the cost of commercial from CVG or Lunkin. Book now at ultimateairshuttle.com.
Ultimate Air Shuttle flights are public charters sold and operated by Ultimate Jet Charters LLC, a direct air carrier.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We're back on Let's Just Talk, now becoming my favorite buddy and expert on business and taxes and everything else I can think of, and that is Greg Noya. Is it Noya?
No, it's No-E.
No-E.
Yeah, my father made a point of having everyone pronounce the E somehow, and that's because the family apparently in Kentucky dropped the E.
So it's No-E.
No-E.
Like No-E in somebody's name. That's weird.
Well, and for those people who have been reading their Bible, they would recognize that name as the gentleman who built the ark.
Really? The ark was built by No-E instead of Noah?
Correct.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The story, and it could be a story, is that the No-E family in France was very popular at the time of the writing of the King James Bible.
Right.
And he didn't want to go to church and listen to them talk about this French family. And so he arbitrarily changed Noe's name to Noah, which is non-denominational.
Oh, really? So anyhow, let's talk a little bit about some of your other parts of your business. How about that?
Sure.
Okay, let's talk about the Edgar Allan Group here for a minute.
Okay.
You started it in 1978, correct, by yourself?
Well, actually, I started ProBiz Services back in 1978 when I was in college. I started a typing service. We didn't have desktop computers back in those days, and we had to type up our papers and things like that. So I started a typing business, and that morphed into this accounting business and some other things. I used to teach some adult education classes, wellness, speed reading, some other things like that. But then it became the tax practice, and now, well, over the years, I've added on other businesses. For example, I created a computer business in 1996, a financial services firm a couple years later. We have some other firms, but they're all part of the Edgar Allan Group, and because they're fundamentally different and there's licenses involved, we need to keep them separate. Because for example, a broker dealer in the stock business doesn't want to oversee an accounting practice. He doesn't know anything about it, doesn't want to be responsible for it, but because technically it's a financial service, he would be obliged to if we had it all within one entity. And so it didn't make sense. And that's one of the principles that we talk about when someone wants to start a business, how to compartmentalize the business.
Right.
We'll oftentimes have, we'll set up one entity to hold real estate or to hold assets, that in another entity to actually operate the business. One is passive, the other is active. And it's common in this day and age to set up those kinds of things. We spend a lot of time setting up businesses and helping young entrepreneurs get off the starting blocks. However, unfortunately, a fair amount of our business is devoted to fixing what other accountants have messed up.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, the rules for what kinds of tax deductions you can take when you have a startup business are really complicated. And they don't teach that kind of stuff in college.
Okay.
When you learn accounting and taxes, you never get into this level of detail. They teach Fortune 500 accounting, but not small business accounting. And never do they teach taxation. By the time someone would graduate, all the rules would be changed. So they'll teach you what a deduction is and how it's different from a credit.
And that's that's the reason why I have an accountant. I think that's really important for me.
And it's a knowledge-based profession, and the knowledge isn't spread equally. Not everyone is focused on small business accounting. The same way I don't deal much with foreign taxation and things like that, or Fortune 500 kinds of things.
Okay.
But I'll ask you the question, what's the number one factor that determines how much you pay in taxes?
I would say how much you make.
That you would seem to think so.
But that's not it.
Well, we have to remember that a few years ago, GE, right here in town, General Electric, who made billions of dollars, paid no income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever.
Right.
So the real answer to the question, what is the prime factor, is going to be who prepares your taxes. That's the number one determinant.
But you know what the funny part about it is that I help people brand themselves.
Yes.
And I really enjoy doing that because it's always exciting for me. I mean, I have one client that came to me as an author. Okay, you haven't met him yet. You will meet him. And he now has a nonprofit for what he does because he wanted to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's giving, he's not taking anything for the nonprofit. And all of the profits are going to what he's doing, which are MP3 players for books. And sure. They give to the vets and to Wounded Warriors and whatever. The other thing is that I just started him in his own radio show, and he's really excited about that. So, you know, there's things that I get to do that are so exciting with what I do. And I think that you're growing constantly too, right?
Yes. Well, and I dare say there's a number of entrepreneurs and that would like to share in that excitement, but they're fearful because of all of these other compliance issues and not knowing what to do. And I would like to reach out to them and say that there are people out there that will help you and handle the things that you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't let that be a reason why not to take those next steps. I have someone I've been trying to get to start a business. She has a wonderful idea,
mm-hmm.
but this conversation has lasted 6 years that I know of. And I just cannot seem to get her to take the right steps.
You should introduce her to me.
I may very well.
Actually, we have a friend. You and I have a friend together, Mark Deere.
Yes.
Okay. And Mark introduced me to a gentleman that invented this truss. He's 74, okay? And it actually, he did it because he's got Parkinson's, and he admits that he has Parkinson's, and there's a reason why he did this. And this truss works so easily, and it's metal, and it's awesome. I actually used it for my cooking show. And if he's not afraid to jump off into the water, nobody is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Mark put him up. He doesn't use a computer or any of that stuff. And yeah. Mark got him to do it. And I'm telling you, the invention is awesome. And I want to take it to Shark Tank, or I want to take it somewhere. Because when I find something or find someone that just needs that push,
yep.
I love that. That's a challenge for me. Because guess what? When I came back, I have to tell you this. When I came back to the Cincinnati in 2001, and I've been a PR and marketing person for many, many years, right? There was nothing in the PR business back then. Everybody didn't want to talk about it. I had to start teaching arts and crafts again to children and did art birthday parties to make a living for a while until I could get my PR business back and running again. So if I can do it, and I'm 71, going to be 72 in September, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Seriously.
Catherine, I am so shocked.
Why?
I would never have believed that you were that old.
I was born in 1944. That makes me 71.
You don't.
Hot.
You don't look
it. I don't act it either.
You don't look it. You don't act it. For those of you who who have not looked up Catherine on her website or anything, go and do it. You'll see what I'm talking about. She doesn't look, and I'm not going
to come up. I have to tell you a little story real quick, Greg. Actually, I was put up for the Energizer Bunny Award, which is really an award that Cal Ripken gave every year. And a minister put me up for it because he was one of my writers. And the only reason I lost, and I was up in the last 100 finalists, there were 1,000 people, because I lost to somebody that had no legs or arms. Hello? How can you compete? I couldn't compete with that. But the point is that if you love your hobby, you love, and you want to do it, don't leave your day job right away. Start out, right, in what you want to do, and then just culminate it and just keep on feeding it and growing it. And then eventually it'll come to a point where you can do it. You just need somebody to say, give me your hand. I'm going to help you along the way. And that's what you do.
Well, that's exactly what the Excelsior Institute was created to do, to take these people. And some of us think that they're all young people, but they're not. I just read the statistics or heard them on NPR the other day. 25% of all new business owners are over 55. Half of all new business owners are over 45, which means 25% of them are between 45 and 55.
And on that note, I got to take a short break here.
Okay.
But we're going to come back and talk about the Excelsior Group and people that are over 50 that are starting their own businesses.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about that. And we'll be right back after these important messages with Greg Noe of the Edgar Allen Group and ProBiz. We'll be right back.
Catherine will be right back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk on W4CY.
Jody Grinwall is the founder of Today is the Day Coaching, Consulting, and Leadership Development. Jody helps guide individuals who are looking to find ways to move forward through life and career transitions and are looking for effective tools that they can use to reach and achieve their personal and professional goals. She also coaches and consults with businesses around overall management of the organization, goal setting, sales training, leadership development, strategic planning, employee engagement, and productivity, as well as team building. She has worked with CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and has extensive experience in sales and development and has helped raise millions of dollars for multiple organizations. To find your life coach to help change your life, call Jody Grinwall at 848-333-2819. I did.
We're back. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on W4CY.
We're back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk. I'm having so much fun with you. This is really exciting, Tom. Not Tom. You are Greg, and I'm going to get that right out of here. But we were talking prior to the break about the Excelsior
Institute.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. And, you know, I started Born Before 64. It was a radio show, and I started with the HR group, Human Resources Group, because I knew that there was going to come a time, Greg, when people over the age of 50 were not going to retire. They may retire from what they, GE or Procter & Gamble, but they were going to start something else because they didn't want to sit in a rocking chair like their mothers. So tell me a little bit about what that institute does.
Historically, our only claim to fame so far is putting on a small business expo here in town. It's a young organization, and I need to remind people that nonprofits can be very helpful to those profit organizations. It's my understanding that AARP, which we all are aware of, was started by New York Life Insurance to sell life insurance. And my understanding is to this day, if you buy life insurance through AARP, it's going to be a New York Life product. But there's other ways that nonprofits can help these profit organizations by giving them access that they wouldn't have otherwise, giving them services cheaper. But in the case of Excelsior Institute, we're devoted to helping startup companies and small business owners through an incubator accelerator program where we will provide certain services for free. And we also have a class, I call it a boot camp class, that I think is more comprehensive than any of the other classes here in the Cincinnati area. That's the reason why we created it anyway. I think it's more robust and deals with many of the issues that need to be dealt with before you open a business. But then we have mentors and other advisors and service providers that are waiting in the wings to guide the entrepreneurs through the process of maybe getting the money to get their businesses or their dreams off the ground, or deal with the day-to-day issues that they have in setting up their companies.
Greg, if I am I'm looking as a new entrepreneur for my business, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll use this girl, this imaginary girl that you've been counseling for 6 years or whatever. What was the first thing that you said to her?
Well, she has an interesting product, and she has been selling it, but she has not yet positioned herself to really go big time. And that is really the heart of a true entrepreneur. My professor in college always made a point of saying that, you know, opening up a mom and pop shop or, you know, a small plumbing store or something like that, that's not what entrepreneurism is really all about. Now, a lot of the issues are the same, but a true entrepreneur has the capability or the potential, if you will, in their business of going big, huge. And in order to do that, you need to get your structure or your organizational structure down pat. You need to, because that's going to determine how you pay people, what taxes you incur, how you relate to the world in general. That organizational structure is very, very important. If you're going to need money, you're going to want to learn then about all of the facets of that. A lot of people are fixed in what I consider to be old paradigms, which is thinking about IPOs, initial public offerings.
Oh, I know what they are.
Okay.
No, so, what I'm saying is that, you know, I've worked with a lot of companies that really pushed for that, and they're not in business today because of it, because they went so wild with it, and they created an IPO, and there was really no structure per se there, so they're not in business anymore.
Well, and that's part of the problem is that they set up their initial organizational structure thinking that later on they're going to do an IPO, and they can't get off the starting blocks because they're limited because of their structure.
Right.
Meaning corporations have to divvy up profits according to percentage of ownership and things like that. LLCs were created so that you can have more flexibility.
I've been an LLC, Greg, since 2003 on one company, and prior to that I was an LLC. And I believe that the wonderful accountant that I sat down with from New Jersey when I lived in New Jersey was very, very smart in helping me to really understand what an LLC was.
Well, and that is rare, I dare say, because I'm going to go way out on a limb here, but there are some attorneys who are not familiar with the nuances of LLCs. You ask them, you know, what is charging order, and they you get a blank stare and a question back, what is it? I've never heard of it. And to recommend setting up an LLC to someone and not knowing about charging order is
scary, to say the least.
Okay, I wouldn't pick that word.
Well, I would, because if I wasn't Anthony Bruce, I'm going to mention his name, is a really, really good friend of mine, the C accountant from New Jersey, and he did franchises and everything else in the world. Mm-hmm. And he used to be on my show in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot, with having him on all the time, and that's the reason why I invited you to become part of this, is because people really need to understand, and sometimes they're too afraid to ask. And, it's funny with products. I don't know that you know this about me, but I have represented more products than you could shake a stick at. And people send me new products and want me to review them and want me to help them to develop it or develop. It could be a food product. It could be a design product. Okay. It could be anything. And I'm very proud to say that I cover the International Houseware shows every year in Chicago for my shows. And I'm always looking for that new, and there's an inventor's corner, which I absolutely adore. So there are people out there that have these wonderful ideas, but they're scared to go beyond that level.
Well, that's always an issue, that we need to bring these people out and let them know that there are different groups and individuals who are willing to help. That's what SCORE is doing. There's a lot of efforts trying to do that. Unfortunately, there are also people out there who would like to help those folks out of their products and services.
That's sad. That's really sad.
It is. And so they need to get hooked up with someone reputable so that that does not happen. Like you, I've seen many, many products and services over the years. Some you might recognize by name, but I'm not going to mention those at this point.
That's right.
But and that's what's fascinating about this industry is some of the things that you see that they're going to make it big one day if they do certain things right. It isn't a guarantee. It isn't always about the idea. Oftentimes, it is about the implementation. And so we want to keep these people grounded, give them a path that they can follow that will increase their chances of success, and remind them that it's not all about that invention. Now, I personally was fascinated when we had a new billionaire come onto our list of billionaires, and I didn't even know that she had a product out there, and I couldn't tell you her name right now, but she's the young woman who invented Spanx.
Oh, yeah, she was actually, her husband was on my program.
I did not know that.
You did not know that.
But here she made $1 billion, and I didn't even know what Spanx were at the time that she had made $1 billion. I'm sorry, but I'm not clued into or tuned into those advertisements. But I guess the point here is that you can make $1 billion, and a lot of people won't even know it.
Right. And, it's funny because some people do these things because they're doing them for themselves or something that, like the invention for the truss, for the chicken mm-hmm. truss. It was because he couldn't tie it.
No.
So he invented it as a metal ring that's expandable, and it really works, and it's simple to use. And I'm so excited about it because it's going to help so many different people to be able to do something really simple in the kitchen. Well, I have been so excited about having you on our show today, and you're going to be a regular on our broadcast all the time. And I want to thank you for joining us today and explaining so many different things that you have. Where can people get more information, and where can they call you to make an appointment?
Well, my phone number is 513-474-4555. And they can look at our website at probizservices.com. That's P-R-O-B-I-Z services.com. And if they want to pursue the nonprofit route, look up excelsiorinstitute.org.
Now, that's the other thing I wanted to ask you, is if people are from different states around the United States, can you help them?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's important.
Yes.
Because we are broadcast on so many stations. That's good. So I want to thank you again today for joining me, Greg. You are a winner. I have to say that. And thank you for becoming our expert on Let's Just Talk. And we'll see you next time on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker, sponsored by
Bagwell, Celestial Cruise Lines, Dan Perkins, IDI Smile Artist, iMarketing, Victory Nutrition International, Mandel Brown Surgery Center, Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Life Coach Jody Grinwald, and Ultimate Air Shuttle
on W4CY.